The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live from high noon on Racing Radio on Tuesday. Gordon Brown, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater will be in the studio. Southwell, Lingfield and Fakenham are the afternoon meetings. And we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Polytrack at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark. And, interesting racing on Tuesday. Not high quality, but competitive.
Yes, and we shall move on to Tuesday's racing in but a few moments. But before we get there, John, as always on a Tuesday on the racing podcast, we look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post and answer those questions. And a lot of it surrounds the open meeting and what happened at Cheltenham. There's also a little bit looking ahead to next weekend as well. So an interesting Monday jury to go out this week, John. The first question is, which novice chaser or hurdler impressed you this weekend?
I think I'll give one of each, Mark. I'm a great follower of Takan de Searle.
Yep.
I thought he was excellent on the first day of the open meeting. People crabbed the victory for some reason or other. I can't understand that. They generally implied that Oscar Whiskey was unlucky to be beat. I don't think he was unlucky to be beat. I think Takan de Searle is a really top-class novice chase prospect. He was good at Force Lass, much better at Cheltenham. Interesting that John Joe took him straight to Cheltenham, second time over fences. I thought he jumped round really neatly, made one mistake at the end of the back straight, which lost him a bit of momentum, but he joined Oscar Whiskey at the last, outpaced him on the run-in. I thought it was an impressive performance.
Yes, and interesting to hear AP on the morning of that. He was saying that he'd schooled both of them. He'd schooled Oscar Whiskey at Nicky Henderson's and obviously Takan de Searle at John Joe's, and he thought it'd be difficult to give £6. I think it was £6, wasn't it? To Oscar Whiskey. So he maybe didn't expect to win it, and he showed a good attitude, didn't he, after the last, and when Oscar Whiskey was just starting to come back on it a little bit, he carried on all the way to the line, and I thought it was a good performance. Yeah, I was impressed.
I thought it was an excellent display, particularly the turn of foot. It has been said that Takan de Searle basically needs the mud. Well, it was there was a bit of cut in the ground at Cheltenham, but it wasn't that bad, and I thought he quickened well. So he impressed me as a novice chaser, very much so.
Yep.
And the novice hurdling line, well, there were two. There was Royal Irish Hussar, who's not very big, but was winning again and did it in good style. But I have to say the one who impressed me most was the Liquidator. I had seen the Liquidator run at Carlisle, and he'd come to Carlisle on the strength of an excellent win in one of the top bumpers at Punchestown in the spring at the festival time. And he was, well, he didn't have much to beat at Carlisle, but he did it really well. And I very much liked his run at Cheltenham, disposed of Sea Lord and the others with minimum fuss, led from the start, hurdled fluently throughout, and looked to be a real prospect.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well, John, yeah. And it was a good day. One of the winners for David Pipe, wasn't it? And that leads us on to the next question, John. What were the training and riding performances of the open meeting?
Well, I think the training performance has got to be David Pipe on the Sunday. Four winners in an afternoon at Cheltenham on any day is a fantastic performance. And at the open meeting, it is fantastic. And his horses all ran champion races. But it's difficult because as far as trainers are concerned, John Joe O'Neill took the two big races at the meeting. Takan de Searle on the first day and then John Spirit in the Paddy Power. So you can't carp his performance and you can't rarely carp Fergal O'Brien's either, whose horses all ran extremely well. So, you know, almost a dead heat, but I don't know whether you would agree. I think you'd have to give the gold medal to David Pipe.
I think so, yeah. I think you're right with what you're saying about John Joe O'Neill as well, because great training performance, particularly with John Spirit, because he switched off in the race, didn't he? And he was travelling probably the best in the race, which is a bit obvious when you say he goes on to win it. But he hasn't always been the most straightforward in terms of settling in races. So I think that was a good performance as well. But yeah, four winners on a day for any trainer at Cheltenham is fantastic, isn't it? So well done to David Pipe. Came a day too late for me, John.
Yes, it did, didn't it?
Yes.
You were there on the Saturday, of course, Mark. As far as jockeys are concerned, I'd have to give the gold medal to Richie McLernan for his performance on John Spirit. I think John Spirit comes into the jury in a moment or two, but you know, Richie McLernan has been a really top-class horseman for a number of seasons, but he's missed out on the really big wins, and it was great to see him scoring a really top-class victory in one of the big handicap chases of the season.
Yes, and interestingly, Richard McLernan is in the Monday jury as well in the Racing Post, and he gives the trading performance to Mr. O'Neill, as he calls him. He says he's done such a good job inside the horse's head, getting him switched off. Always a bit gassy, and it's great to get the six-year-old to come out and win the Paddy Power. He also highlights AP McCoy's ride on Takandasu as well, and you could put Kid Cassidy as well in there, couldn't you? AP's ride on that was pretty good as well. So plenty of good performance. I mean, the first 3 days up until about the, I think it was the third race maybe on the Sunday, there was, I think it was 14 different winning jockeys at the meeting, which is quite remarkable. And then obviously on Sunday we saw a few more double up, but to get to that point and all the jockeys be level, I thought that was quite remarkable.
Yeah, highly entertaining, very competitive, and you know, excellent for the wide spread of riders. And it was the most you know, enterprising 3 days, I think, a tremendous sort of taster for the big races to come in the near future.
Yes, and there's plenty of them coming up. We've got quite a few good weekends coming up, but we'll reflect on the Paddy Power some more, because can Paddy Power Gold Cup winner John Spirit make his mark at championship level this season then, John? You say it whets the appetite for the bigger races later on in the season. Will we see John Spirit involved?
I think we might see him involved, but whether he gets to the sort of top grade level, I don't think he will. I think he's an excellent handicapper. He likes Cheltenham. I think we've got to remember that he was right at the bottom of the handicap on Saturday.
Yeah.
When I was summing it up in my own sort of preview, felt that the two horses likely to fight out the finish, and the Wizard, Darren Owen, was the same, they would be those at the foot of the handicap. John Spirit and the Philip Hobbs horse, who I thought you supported as well, Colour Squadron.
Yes, I did, yes.
I thought that they would be the two, and the Wizard went for John Spirit to win and Colour Squadron to finish second. I went the other way round, which was unfortunate. But they did both fight out the finish. I thought they were well ahead of the handicap. Whether John Spirit, who was brilliantly ridden, as we pointed out, by Richard McLernan, travelling well throughout and produced with a long, steady run to take it up two out, will be quite good enough to clash with the big giants of the game, I have my doubts.
Okay. John O'Neill's last Paddy Power winner was Exotic Dancer, and he went on to at least run well in the big races, didn't he? He made Corto Star worry about a few things a couple of times. And
interesting comparison, Mark. Yes, Exotic Dancer got beat in the Carlisle graduation chase by Turpin Green, I remember, in a very small contest, small field contest at Carlisle. Then, as you say, went on to win some really decent races and run well in the top-class company. I think Exotic Dancer was perhaps slightly more highly touted and regarded, but it is an interesting comparison. And I say no about John Spirit at the championship level, but I could be proved wrong.
He's only a six-year-old, isn't he? So there's plenty more years in him, you would imagine. What do you make of the champion hurdle after this week? And then, John, Hurricane Fly didn't impress most people.
I think that was a pity. I mean, he was on a hiding to nothing, Hurricane Fly. Why other trainers didn't produce some kind of creditable opposition to Hurricane Fly, I simply don't know. Excellent prize money. The horse might not have been at his very best first time out. Good chance for those just below his level to make him really run. And I thought he was workmanlike. He basically could do nothing but win. He did it. 17 grade ones, unbelievable standard. Great performance, really, to have... Well, it's not really a great performance to have achieved that level. I don't think he looked sensational on Sunday, but he beat what he had to beat in, you know, relatively comfortable style. Just had to be kept up to the mark over the final flight and on the run in. As far as the future of the champion hurdle contenders are concerned, it's muddy waters in my view, Mark. There's plenty of time to go, but one has to be impressed with the new one. Yep. I thought his performance at Kempton was, you know, really smashing, and clearly he pleased the Tristan Davis camp enormously. He's the newcomer on the block, really. I think he's the one at this stage that Hurricane Fly will have to be most frightened of.
Okay. Yes, after this weekend, I expected Hurricane Fly to probably shorten and return towards the top of the betting, but the betting for the champion hurdle at the moment is still headed by the new one, who you just mentioned there, John. He's 4-1. Our Connor is 5-1. My Tent or Yours is 11-2. Then we have Hurricane Fly at 6-1. Jeski's 8, and then it's 18-1 or bigger prices the rest. So as far as the betting is concerned, some people may be thinking that there may be a changing of the guard this year, and the younger ones are going to come through and finally get the better of Hurricane Fly. Probably be once and for all, wouldn't it? I don't think he'd be back up there next year, probably.
No, I think that it will be a change of a guard in March, assuming that those at the top of the betting remain in fitness and in really top form. Our Connors, obvious danger from Ireland. My Tent or Yours will probably be much better this season than last, and I think it will be definitely a change. One horse that we mentioned last week is still 20-1. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Melodic Ron didn't actually go to the champion hurdle, and there will be many worse 20-1 each way shots.
Okay, let's move on to the fifth question then, John. Who wins Saturday's Betfair Chase and why? I've got the betting in front of me here. It's already on site. Bobsworth, the Gold Cup winner, is the 2-1 market leader. Silvini Arco Conti is 5-2. Dinast, 5-1. Q Card, 7s with Tidal Pay. It's 12-1 for Long Run and Roy Demi, and then 14-1 for First Lieutenant. Harry Topper and the Giant Balls to both 16-1, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. We've still got the likes of Imperial Commander, Prince de Bosch, and Cape Tribulation that we didn't mention in there. It's heating up to be a good race, John. Will we see Bobsworth come out in front though?
We could do. I'm not going to go any further than that, Mark. Bobsworth, I was really with Bobsworth to win the Gold Cup last March. I think he's got a very good chance of doing so again. Yes, it's a tremendous race, this. Certainly, if all the runners mentioned in the betting go to post, it'll be one of the most fantastic steeplechases of the season. Question mark horse for me is Dinast. Will he, in fact, prove to be better at a slightly shorter trip, or will he last out well over the 3 miles here? Bold decision by the Pipes to change what had been a likely engagement in the Paddy Power over that shorter trip to go for this race. They are, of course, in tremendous form. So I think Dinast is very much a question mark horse. I would point out that he has in the past run almost his best races first time out, and this, of course, will be first time out. And I think Dinast, or Dinast, whichever way you like to pronounce it, is the most interesting horse. As far as the winner, that was the question. I have to go for Silvini Arco Conte. I think Paul Nicholls has got his team absolutely spot on for the first 2 months of the autumn season. And being a Bobsworth supporter, I was extremely nervous when Silvini Arco Conte came down the hill at Cheltenham in the Gold Cup, seemingly galloping on strongly in front. If he hadn't come down, would he or would he not have won? It's a question mark. I was very, very impressed with his runs up to Cheltenham, and as I say, nervous when he did come down in the Gold Cup. I don't think he'll make a similar mistake on a flat course like Haydock. I think it's ideal for him. Silvini Arco Conte, in my view, very much a Newbury Haydock flat track course and horse, and I think he'll go very well. So he would be my idea of the winner.
Okay, so Winnie Arco Conti then for John this weekend. And finally, the final question of this week's Monday Jury, who else has caught your eye recently?
Oh, well, I had to be impressed with Red Sherlock in the bumper on Sunday at the Open meeting. I thought he's given a splendid ride by Timmy Murphy. Emotional win, of course, because Timmy Murphy had been such a close friend and stable jockey of the late David Johnson that it was, I think, quite important for him that at the time when we were remembering David Johnson at the Open meeting, that Red Sherlock should win in those famous colours. And KP was very strong on the horse, and the horse did everything right, and I thought it was a very impressive win. As far as the other most recent performances go, Mark, I have to just impress people on what a brave performance Nakara Bow gave in the Staying Chase at Cheltenham. I thought it was a marvellous performance by the Northern Raider, and the Charlton family are to be congratulated on the way they've got the old man back in on song again. Jan Fulterjack was extremely good in the saddle, and had he not made a mistake, I think it was at the 2 out, it might have been 3 out, he could easily have won.
Yeah.
And I love seeing these old fellows come back on form, and Nakara Bow I thought was splendid at Cheltenham.
Yeah, he did just make that mistake, didn't he, in the home in the final few fences, and that did cost him his chance, but he was admirably brave, wasn't he, all the way around. So I can see where you're coming from there, John. Okay, let's leave that there. That's the Monday jury for another week then, and we move on to Tuesday's racing, and we're going to look at one race at Southwell and or Southwell if you want, and two races at Fakenham. We'll start at Southwell in the 12:10, and this is a class 6 handicap over a mile and a half, and plenty of them in the lineup, John. We've got 14 of them declared to go to post. Competitive stuff. Which ones have caught your eye here?
Well, several of them. That's why I'd really chosen this race, Mark. I thought it was a very competitive race. I rather like class 6 handicaps, and particularly at Southwell. I'm interested first of all in Overrule. He won't necessarily win this race, but Chris Bielby's horses are in quite good nick. He's wearing blinkers for the first time, and it will be interesting to see how he goes, because he could well be switched to hurdling afterwards. Then we have a number of others who, you know, are right in there with a chance. Like Clockwork, for example, Mark Tompkins's runner. Like Clockwork has been hitting the woodwork for much of the season, but this is a low class, a low grade handicap, and he could go well. Many Fibre Sand supporters, all-weather team supporters as well, will be thinking follow the flag, a bit like Nakara Bow, getting a bit long in the fang, but nevertheless he's very much an all-weather specialist. All those three could have a chance, but I've got to go for Good Looking Lucy. I think Good Looking Lucy is handicapped to win this race. Keith Dalglish has got his team in very good shape. You know, he's having winners over hurdles as well as on the flat, and say he's inherited Good Looking Lucy from Diane Sayer, who in my view did little wrong with Good Looking Lucy over the seasons, but there have been two really decent runs since going to Keith Dalglish. I particularly liked an effort to make all the running at Yarmouth, just run down inside the final furlong, but goes well on the all weather, like soft ground, I think will be suited by the 5% and looks on a very good mark. So I'm a Good Looking Lucy man.
Good Looking Lucy then in the opener at Southwell. We move over to Fakenham. We go jumping from here on out then, and the 1:30 at Fakenham is the first race we're going to look at. It's a mare's handicap chase over the extended 3 miles, and only four of them in the lineup here. Little Swifter, Midnight Macarena, Tea Caddy and Epe Celeste are the four in the lineup. Which one will come home first though, John?
Interesting, isn't it? I chose this race simply because there were four runners and I thought any of the four might win the race. Epe Celeste is very consistent, but at the same time pretty slow, Mark. Mm. And I think Epi Celeste will have to hope for one or two others to make mistakes if Epi Celeste is going to score. I thought it was basically a match between T. Caddy and Lucy Wadham's horse, Midnight Macarena. And so I'm going to go with T. Caddy, but we'll just quickly mention Lucy Wadham. I think she's a very decent trainer. She always has been. And she's got a good record of Fakenham. I respect her charges both on the flat and over the jumps, and a lot of money for Midnight Macarena at Southall last week, and the horse responded with a very, very fluent win. Could go extremely well over the obstacles here, but I think Jamie Snowden's got his team in better shape at the moment than he has for some while, and I quite like Tea Caddy, also at Southwell, and Tea Caddy is a solid jumper, very consistent without having a great deal of turn of foot. It doesn't often make mistakes. Fair second to Dancing Daffodil at Southall last time out. Jumps well. I think that's important at Fakenham. Could be outpaced by Midnight Macarena. That is, of course, the worry. But I'm going to go with Tea Caddy for Jamie Snowden.
Okay, Tea Caddy then in the 1:30, and on to the 2:30 at Fakenham next. This is the Other Races Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's a Class 3 event over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and 5 of them in the lineup for this one. And Dersey Sound is likely to be one of those near the top of the betting. John O'Neill, we've already highlighted, he's in good form. AP McCoy in the saddle in those JP McManus silks, and Dersey Sound's usually fairly useful.
Yeah, good sound chance, I think, Mark. Yes, and AP on board. I just have a feeling he could be overbet, though. I think he's going to start very short in this contest, Dersey Sound. He has a certain amount of right to do so, because he won well at Bangor, and on the strength of that, he was quite well fancied to win a better race at Market Raisin last time out. Richie McClernan was in the saddle on that occasion. Richie McGrath was in the studio. He was very solid for Dersey Sound, and I opposed. Dersey Sound was just closing on the leading pack at Market Raisin, going down the back straight for the final time, when he unseated Richie. He just made a mistake. He pitched on landing, nothing that Richie McClernan could do to stay in the saddle, so that was the end of it. But he was coming back into the race. He's got to have a major chance. But there are two others in the contest who would be perhaps more worthwhile backing. Hunting Tower is one of them. Tim Vaughan, horses coming back to form if they were ever out. Hunting Tower definitely got claims, nicely weighted. But the horse I'm going for is even further down, and that is King of the Wolds. If there's a northern trainer whose horses are going really well at the moment, but they don't seem to have been, you know, really recognised as such, it is Malcolm Jefferson. He's got some very decent horses in his yard. They're all going well, and he's picking up several winners. And I thought King of the Wolds jumped really well at Sedgefield over fences, and ran on strongly in the closing stages to score. The third horse was 10 lengths away. That was See What Happens, and it wasn't a bad field. And I think it's interesting that Malcolm has decided to come down here to Fakenham. It's a long way from Moulton, really, and I don't think he goes very often to Fakenham. So King of the Wolds, I think, can improve, and he is my choice in a competitive race.
Okay, King of the Wolds then in the 2:30 at Fakenham. Let's just have a quick summary then, John, if you wouldn't mind, before you go, if you'll just spin us through your thoughts one more time.
Well, in the 12:10, the opener at Southall, I'm Good Looking Lucy, a supporter for Keith Dalgleish. In the 1:30 at Fakenham, Tea Caddy for Jamie Snowden. And in the 2:30 at Fakenham, King of the Wolds for Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes.
Thank you very much, John. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Lord John Budden then on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12 p.m. That's a high noon start for Racing Radio on Tuesday. Gordon Brown, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater will be the team in the studio. We have racing from Southwell, Lingfield and Fakenham in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton in the evening. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.